Good morning, everyone. It's truly an honor, it is truly a pleasure to stand before you all this morning on this first day of the week to give you all a portion of the bread of life that is the Word of God. More importantly, to have the honor to be able to stand before our God to give Him our very best as we strive to worship as true worshipers in spirit and in truth. For those of our friends who are visiting us this morning, we thank you. We thank you for joining us. We thank you for trusting that here, the Southeast Church of Christ, we strive to give our God that which He has commanded from us in the best way possible. We hope and pray that if you don't mind, you will share your information with us so that we can keep in contact with you. And if you have any questions about what we have been studying or what we will be seeing today, please feel free to approach myself or one of our brethren here so that we can answer those questions with the Bible in hand. If you will please open your Bibles to the epistle written to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. Colossians chapter 2. In fact, I'm going to change it a little bit. We're going to start from verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you've died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. You will please bow with me in prayer. Our beloved Father and our heavenly King, may thy name forever be glorified by the lips of thy saints throughout the world. We bow respectfully, Father, before thy presence. We come to thee, Lord, seeking and striving to be holy in thy sight, so that, Lord, as we study another portion of thy word, we, Father, may understand what thou have considered and what thou have designated as true worship. That we, Father, may understand, Father, that what thou have established, it is that which we, Father, must provide. And that, Lord, we may understand the difference between worshiping thee and serving thee. That, Lord, through these words that thy Spirit inspired Paul to write, we may be able to learn, Father, and apply in our own daily living. Thus we ask for this thy servant, Father, who is in thy hands. Use me in accordance to thy will. Allow me to speak in accordance to thy word. And that, Father, most of all, I may have the boldness to apply in my daily living by practicing, Father, those things that thou wantest us to practice. Forgive us, for we know that we have failed thee, but grant us the strength, Father, to get back up and to continue walking toward that promised land. For, Lord, we pray this and humbly in the precious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, I want to take the opportunity to thank those men who covered for me last Sunday. As you know, as I've already mentioned earlier in our class, I was sick due to some food that did not sit well with me. But by God's providence and through your prayers, brethren, we are here today and we are doing better. But I do want to make sure that I am diligent in thanking those brothers who covered and had that love and disposition to teach and preach God's holy word. We have been studying in this third quarter, brethren, as we now near the conclusion, those false ideals and concepts that are in the world, and we have been showing with God's truth why they fall short from what God has established. As we begin the first part of our conclusion of this quarter, brethren, you will see that the subject matter that has been chosen for this morning is indeed what it all boils down to: worship. You see, every one of those false doctrines, every one of those false ideologies, every one of those things that you and I have been exploring and comparing with God's truth, in the end has to do with, as always, the enemy who has always intended on taking away from God what belongs to Him. If you recall in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus and Satan are facing off, we see that after the first and second attempts of Satan ensnaring our Lord, the last one, he is very direct as to what was always his intention. We see that Satan, what he was always wanting to do, and is still true today, was take for himself that which belongs to God. If you will bow down to me and worship me, you and I, Jesus, can have this world together. When we pay attention to the whole time of what Satan was trying to do, Christ, had he obeyed or had he followed what Satan had given him, would have been given Satan that worship. He would have been given Satan that obedience that belongs to God. Thus, when we see, brethren, that when we fall into apostasy, when we fall into these false concepts that come from the imaginations of men, these are bred from the very same source that has always been bred from. Attempts and intentions of taking away from God which that He rightly deserves. In Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, going all the way to the end of the chapter, we see that the Apostle Paul speaks about how the ancient world did not give God, nor did they recognize God in His glory. But instead, the Apostle Paul says that even though we have a Creator, man decided to worship creation. And thus, this is the point of those false doctrines. Notice here in chapter 2 of Colossians, brethren, where we began at verse 16, how here the Apostle Paul twice warns us that we have to be careful that we are not cheated. Notice in verse 18 that he is teaching us that we can lose our reward based on us not knowing the difference between worshiping God and serving God. And you see, this is the final one that we're choosing for our conclusion of this series, of this quarter. Because there is a false, insidious thought and doctrine out there that wants to claim that everything we do is worship. That it does not matter whether we are here, it does not matter, and it is not subjective to 5 acts of worship, but that every good deed and every good word and every good thing that we do is a form of worship to God. But this, brethren, is false. And we see that because here immediately, as we are reading the passage, notice that Paul begins to speak about false humility. He begins to say that there was a worship of angels that is not condoned by God, that is not approved, and it is not true worship. And even though there were many in the Old Testament, such as Manoah in the book of Judges chapter 13, who intended well, who believed that because he had spoken to this angel, because he had received instructions about Samson, he had the right intentions, or rather the good intentions, in wanting to thank this creature, this heavenly creature, by offering him worship. But immediately the angel taught Manoah that he was not to receive such praise. Even though Manoah's intentions were good, they were not right. They were wrong. Thus we prove immediately that service and worship are not one and the same. You see, even though Manoah was instructed by the angel what to do and to whom to worship, the fact that he was going to raise a son in the form of Samson, the fact that he was going to bring a liberator to the people of Israel, and the fact that he would follow the instructions in how this child was to be raised, was not worshiping God. It was serving Him, but it was not worshiping Him. You see, when we talk about everything, brethren, those who believe that everything we do is a form of worship, we have to be very, very careful when we think about that. Because this means that this morning when I woke up, when I brushed my teeth, I worshiped God. When I got in the shower and washed off the filth from the previous day, I worshiped God. When I got dressed and put on my socks so that I can wear this suit today, I worship God. And this is ludicrous. This is ridiculous. Even though these things that I did were in preparation for worshiping God, I was not worshiping God by putting on my socks, the right one on the right foot at the same time. When we talk about this, brethren, we have to understand that worship is something that God Himself has designated for Himself. Worship is something that God has already established, and He has already told us what He wants, how He wants, and when He wants it. Please go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 12. Notice there under the old law how God shows us that there is a difference between service and worship. And we see it because there in Deuteronomy chapter 12, we see where one of those things that falls under the category of everything proves that not everything is worshiping God. Because in chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, God is telling them to get rid of the idols of the promised land. He is telling them that they are to remove those idols from their land because that is not approved by Him. And then notice verse 5, verse 4. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. Right there immediately we are seeing, brethren, that they are not the same, worship and service. In my office I have a portrait that was given to me with a stanza from one of the songs, The Old Rugged Cross. And the stanza that was gifted to me is the one that says that one day I will exchange that cross for a crown. Now, is it good for me to read that scripture? Is it good for me to be reminded that there is a reward? Is it good to see that as a way of motivating me to keep fighting the good fight? Yes, it is. But am I worshiping God by always reading that statue? Or excuse me, that portrait? No, I am not. Because the moment that I start treating that portrait as something that is sacred and holy in the sense of that I am going to worship God by reading that, and I start bowing to it, and I start revering it, and I clean it, and I'm afraid to drop it because it contains God's Word, well, guess what? That's just become idolatry. And verse 4 says, you shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. We continue to read verse 5. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put His name for His dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing what is right in his own eyes. For as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. Not everything we do is worship, brethren, and this scripture makes it very clear. Notice how God tells them in verse 8, you shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever's right in his own eyes. This is what it means to everything we do is worship. If everything we do is worship, then how can we determine who is worshiping correctly and who is worshiping incorrectly? If everything we do is worship, then how can we determine who is obedient and who is disobedient? Notice that God does not leave that to our own judgment. Notice that God does not leave that to man's imagination. God in verse 5 begins by telling us it's not going to be just at any place. It's not going to be from the comfort of your home. It's not going to be while you are nice and cozy in your bed. It's not going to be out in the park because there's cool weather. The place that I have chosen, says God, there you will go. So everything we do cannot be worship. Because if we are not where God has designated for us to be, then guess what? We're already not worshiping. See how that works? We don't have a choice in the matter. We cannot choose when we want to worship God, where we want to worship God, how we want to worship God, because God has already told us all of those details that He wants. To say that everything we do is worshiping God is to relive verse 8, where every man is doing whatever is right in his own eyes. Then that begs the question, well, who's right and who's wrong? Go with me to John chapter 4, because that was exactly what was taking place there. The Samaritan woman's implied question shows that confusion. It shows that this was what was taking place during their times when Christ and her were having this conversation at the well. Notice verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Notice the implied question in verse 20. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." There, the Greek word for worship is proskuneo. Proskuneo, if you research it, means to bow down, to pay homage to kiss the hand of a king that is being honored. Thus, the question this woman is asking is not what our good service. It is not about latreo, which means to serve. It is not about diakonos, which means how to serve or minister in a certain fact. The word that she is asking specifically is, how do we revere and how do we honor God? It isn't about how do we serve God, how do we revere and how do we honor Him? How do we give Him glory? Where do we give Him glory? Because in Deuteronomy 12, God had already said, the place where I choose, there you will go. But then Jeroboam came along and said, no, we're going to switch it. You don't have to go to Jerusalem, even though God chose Jerusalem. Well, there's been a split in the kingdom, so I'm now choosing two places more convenient for you. Dan and Bethel. And we no longer have to worship a God we cannot see. I'm going to give you one that you can see and you can amaze in its beauty. We'll have golden calves there. That's how you know where you're going to worship now. Lo and behold, here we see the effects of Jeroboam's foolish decision in John chapter 4. Because that's why the Samaritans and the Jews could not agree in which or where was God truly worshipped at. Jeroboam's effect was still being felt so many centuries later here in John chapter 4. But Christ clarifies something. Christ makes sure that the Samaritan woman hears something very important. And He begins in verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." You see that word worship that keeps getting repeated throughout this entire scripture? It's the same Greek word, proskuneo. Why would Christ be so specific in the word that He uses? Why would the Holy Spirit be so specific in recording the same word to make us understand what the discussion being held here was about. It wasn't about service. It wasn't about good deeds. It wasn't about good works. It was about worship. How do we honor God? How do we praise God? How do we give God that ship full of valuables that He deserves as a conquering king? You see, brethren, we have to understand that there is a difference, and that it is false to say that everything we do can be considered worship. Because worship has to have an object. There has to be an object that it focuses on. Notice that when we serve one another, if we are helping each other, those of you who serve this servant by bringing me water or food and medicine, because you did those good deeds and served me, does that then mean that you worshiped me? Absolutely not. Did you worship God in serving His servant? Absolutely not. See the difference? Because God's worship has already been determined by Him. Because He is the object of our worship. Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 1, "After these things I heard a loud voice of great multitudes in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia! Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. But notice what happens in verse 10. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. This is an angel that John falls before. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brother and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. But notice the direction, the object that the angel points. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Worship God. In verses 1 through 5 or 4, we see an example of what worship is. And it was God whom they were worshiping. In verses 5 through 9, we see who was doing the worship. But in verse 10, we see a confused John. We see John who falls before this heavenly being, who feels the urge to bow to this being, who is misunderstanding and misinterpreting and thinking, perhaps this is not an angel, perhaps this is another person of God. If everything we do is worship, And why was John told, see that you do not do that? Why did this angel not accept worship? The answer is because worship belongs to God and God alone. And in order for us to give God the honor, the glory, and the praise, obedience is a necessary factor. We cannot glorify God, and we are not worshiping God if we are not following what He has established as the acceptable and true worship. This is why it's important to understand that not everything we do can be considered as worship, because everything we do has not been condoned or approved already by God as acceptable to what He calls His worship. Thus, when we read this, brethren, we understand that the correct object of worship is necessary, and that is God. We've already read in John chapter 4 how God seeks true worshipers to worship Him. But then we see that the correct attitude of worship is necessary. There has to be the correct attitude. This is what Christ refers to as spirit. If you will, please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice how one of the acts of worship that is being discussed by the Apostle Paul here shows the wrong attitude, and how even though this was an act of worship, the wrong attitude was nullifying it. The wrong approach, the wrong spirit was making this no longer valid. And notice in chapter 11, beginning at verse 17, it says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must be also factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, notice, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. This is an act of worship that God has designated. This is an act of worship that God has established. This is an act of worship that Jesus Christ Himself has commanded us to do in remembrance of Him. And yet here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 and forward, Paul is telling them, you may think that by going through the actions, you're worshiping, but God is rejecting what you're doing. Because your attitude is wrong. Your approach is irreverent. You're not gathering for the better. You're gathering for the worse. They were fighting. They were arguing over who ate first and who didn't eat at all. Verse 21, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. Right object, wrong attitude. Not worship. See how that works? They were doing the right thing. They were gathering together as a church to partake of the Lord's Supper as commanded on the first day of the week. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, right? But what was wrong? What was off? What disproved it? The wrong attitude. The wrong spirit. The spirit was not the one that God had commanded. There was no reverence. They were treating the Lord's table as if it was a common meal. They were treating that which God had consecrated as a reminder of the sacrifice and the promises that are found in that sacrifice as if it was just another meal. Something common. Something typical. This is why we read verses 27 through 34, where the warning is told to us that if we do not discern correctly, means that if we don't meditate, We don't think about what we're doing as we are eating that bread, as we are drinking that fruit of the vine. If we are not meditating and reminding ourselves of not only what that means, but the promises that are there, then the attitude is wrong. If we just eat the bread because it's the time when we gather to eat it, if we just drink the fruit of the vine because that's when we're supposed to do it, and don't give it a second thought, we just do it and go through the motions, we did not worship God today. We did a good thing. We served. But notice how it isn't worship. There has to be an object of worship, the correct object of worship, which is God. There has to be the correct attitude of worship, which is one of reverence and obedience. But finally, there has to be the correct actions of worship, which is truth. If you will, please go with me to 2 Chronicles. And again, I love how no matter whether you go to the Old Testament or the New Testament, this concept of worship is always proven true. And if you will, go to chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, beginning at verse 16. Notice here how the incorrect action led to God not accepting or approving what was trying to be done. Chapter 26, verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. Notice, by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor." Pay close attention. "You shall have no honor from the Lord your God." This is a king they're resisting. This is the most powerful man in the land. And they are telling him, "We don't care if there's a crown in your head. You are not authorized. Just because you are king doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want. And even though you're going to worship the right God, even though you're going to burn incense the right way, you are not the right person to do it." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the incense altar. Did God approve of the intentions of the king? Absolutely not. Could the king then say that he worshiped God? No, he didn't. The correct actions of worship is what God has designated and how and whom he has designated. How often, brethren, do we find ourselves in that mistake that if our sisters want to worship God by singing a praise, by reading a scripture, some have gone to the point where they say, well, they can serve the table, they're not praying, they're not leading a prayer, all they're doing is helping pass the plates. What's wrong with that? They were not designated by God. That's what's wrong with that. Amen. It's not the right actions. It has nothing to do with gender. It has to do with what hath said the Lord. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 clearly tells us why. Because Eve was beguiled and not Adam. But worship is not about what makes me happy. Worship is not about what I want to be satisfied with. Worship is about God. And because worship is about Him, He has to be the object. My attitude has to be reverent and obedient, and my actions have to be following His commandments. Notice that any of the three that I just mentioned to you this morning missing immediately proves that it is not worship. When we do a good deed and we do good services, usually one of these threes is going to be missing. when we help people, sometimes we don't stop to think about it. We just spring into action, don't we? You know I love my big brother Orion. You know how much I love him. Now I know we give each other a hard time, but that's because we love each other. Let me prove to you why. Because the moment that man knew I was sick, he didn't think about it twice. He appeared in my apartment with water, with soup, and many other things. He just acted. What was missing there? The object. Because he was serving his fellow brother, not God. Therefore, what our brother did was not worship, but it was a good deed. And thank you for it, brother. You see the difference? Everything we do is not constituted to worship. For us to understand the difference, we must understand, we must understand that the correct object has to be God. The correct attitude has to be a spirit of humility and reverence and obedience. And the correct actions have to be following the commandments that God has given. What He has told me, this is how you're going to worship me. This is how I'm going to be honored and glorified by you. We end this morning by going to Leviticus chapter 10. I'm sure that serve, especially our elders, right? They've probably been thinking the whole time, brother, when are you going to get to Nadab and Abihu? When are you going to get there, brother? Why? When are you going to get there? Because that shows precisely what this whole lesson has been about. That not everything we do is constituted to worship. And notice how in chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, God tells us the very crux. He tells us the essence of what makes worship separate from good service. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Wrong action. You notice that? So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. There's the difference. There's the difference. Nadab and Abihu were daring enough to put in the wrong fire because their approach to God was an unholy one, was an irreverent one. And because they dared believe that God would be happy with just whatever they were to offer Him, they were watering down what belonged to God. In their mind, I can assure you, the answer was, fire is fire. What's the difference? God knows the difference. He knows the difference. This is why it begins by understanding that He is the object of our worship. And that worship is what we are bringing to Him. Because we then must regard God as holy so that we come near Him and glorify Him amongst all the people. Worship is about God, not about me. Worship is about what I bring to God, not about what I can take out of it. Many people fall short in Christianity because they cannot make that distinction in their own lives. If we make that distinction and switch that in our minds, we're not going to be here at worship late. We're not going to miss as much as we miss. And we're not going to be falling asleep in our pews wondering, when will the preacher shut his mouth? Because it's not about us. It's about honoring God and giving Him all praise and all glory. And it begins with the right attitude and the right actions. It's good that you're here this morning, but make sure that your worship is true. May God be the reason why you're here, not because you want to see this handsome face. May the reason you're here because you want to give God your very best, with the right attitude, in obedience, with humility and love for God, and not for his servants. My friend, you want to give God glory, but because you are still in your sins, you cannot do so. We just read where Scripture says that we must approach God in a holy manner because he is holy. But while you are in sin and have not yet accepted the blood of his Son through baptism, you cannot glorify God because your sin is impeding you from doing so. Don't you want to bring a sweet-smelling aroma in the presence of God this morning? Don't you want your service to actually be a worship this morning? The only way you're going to achieve that is by obeying the gospel through the waters of baptism this morning. And until you do that, you are not worshiping God, because God, like Cain, is rejecting what you're bringing before him. Let's get your worship approved by obeying his commandments this morning as we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.